Thank you for choosing this GLT podcast. And while it's free to you, it's not free to produce. Please take a moment and make a contribution to pay for this program. Go to WGLT.org. And thank you.
Don't plant just any old bean this year. Go with the delicious and distinctive Dutch heirloom known as the Dragon Tongue Bean. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hey, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, growing Dragon Tongue Beans. And these are beautiful, beautiful beans.
They are as fashionable as a bean could get, and I've never seen a dragon's tongue, but I imagine that's what it looks like. I've seen types of stitching that's described as a dragon's tongue, but maybe they call this a dragon's tongue because of its color, Laura. I don't know.
What's its color?
It's yellowy with purple stripies.
Oh, that sounds nice.
I know, and like you said, it's a Dutch heirloom, and we love to send our Grow corporate love out to our friends in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, where there's a sign that says, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. But that is only referring to tourists coming to Menominee Falls. About the heirloom bush or snap bean, it resembles the shape and overall size of your regular French green bean. And the plant itself is very compact. It's since it's a bush.
Oh, wait a minute. Does this mean I can plant this if I've got a really tiny yard? This might be the bean to go with?
I think it's a great fit. I was just going to say it's a great small space crop. I was unable to make a determination of what its success is like in a container,
yeah.
But I know that there are many other gardeners that are growing various bush beans, buckwheat, black-eyed peas. They're all growing them in pots. So let's give it a try.
Why not?
Let's give it a try. And it's considered a culinary superstar, Laura, also.
Why?
Because its appearance and its flavor. So there are a couple pests. We got to get the pests and the control thing out of the way. Their typical pests for green beans would be the Mexican bean beetle or bean weevils. Easy to control.
How do we do that?
Culture is one way. Don't let them get all bedraggled and wilty, because a stressed plant attracts the pest a lot of times. And plant more than one. Have several so you got the pollination source. And don't do anything crazy like plant them in the shade. Plant them in the blazing hot sun where they can mound.
Huh?
They mound, yes.
Ah.
They're really neat. And another reason that they're a culinary superstar is that they have a taste that seems very popular on the palate, and it's kind of a nutty taste, a nutty, buttery taste. Because we've talked about the Red Vikings and the German butterball potatoes. Man, would that be good to put together with this bean, because
you could have a succotash.
Yeah, and then this bean, another reason for it being called a culinary superstar is because it's very low in the little fibers, the little hairy type things that are along the ridge of the bean. And it's more of the consistency of a wax bean, so it's a meaty bean.
Ooh.
Rather than one that kind of pastes, you know. If you've ever made the hillbilly hash with the green beans and the potatoes and bacon grease, the green beans a lot of times just turn into like a paste. You could literally spread it on a piece of bread. And that reminds me also of the dragon tongue, the bean that's inside the pod, is unusual in appearance also. So it's white with the little teeny tiny purple hash marks on it. So inside and out, it's really quite distinctive. And I was thinking about, well, how would one enjoy this, right?
Yeah,
how would one enjoy it?
Good ways. I mean, could I just eat it raw, do you think?
It is recommended that you eat it served chilled after soaking it in water in the refrigerator for 24 hours, and that lessens the snap a little bit. You can also blanch them. That's not Maud's sister, but blanching is where you kind of boil it briefly and then you pour some warm water over it and you're ready to eat them. And if you cook this bean and it turns white, you have overcooked it.
Oh, good tip there. Okay, you're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, growing the delicious and beautiful dragon tongue beans.
So growing them is important. It is important to avoid the last frost. They're very cold weather sensitive.
Okay, what do you do?
So you wait, I would say, a week or two after the last frost hazard. So some people look that up with Extension, USDA. Some people use the Almanac. I think a safe date is Mother's Day.
Yes.
Okay, so you could wait until Mother's Day weekend or right after that and plant this in the full sun. And it is a plant that does not need a lot of fertilizer, so you could just do some composting when you plant it, and you would not have to do any fertilizing for that season.
Really?
Yes. And it's recommended that water-soluble fertilizers are used because they're kind of mild. And this bean is a light feeder, as it were. When I have looked at the images of this vegetable, I've seen the dishes that it came with, and it is undeniably appetizing in appearance. And I like a lot of other vegetables and plant-type foods that have that nutty taste, you know, your morel mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Some potatoes have that flavor. I do like the black-eyed peas. I think they have kind of a... They're buttery tasting, but they're sharp at the same time.
Okay.
This is, sounds so cool, so amazing. And every little dish, every little image of them from 4-H and other state fair competitions showed this bean in all of its glory. Some have a little more yellow, some have a little more purple.
Mm-hmm.
That must be the differences in the culture, right? Different soil types, different water levels, things like that.
It's a very Instagrammable bean. So if you've got a good Instagram account and you like to shoot your garden or what you're having for dinner, this would be a perfect bean for that. You'll get a lot of likes, a lot of double tapping on that bean.
Yeah, so when we say it's a culinary superstar because of flavor and appearance, but it's also photogenic.
Yes.
So we can say it's a very photogenic bean that demands a higher salary and lots of perks and all the green M&Ms removed from the green beans.
Okay.
From the bowl. Yeah. But it's just really remarkable that there's always something new out there. And I'm not saying this is new, but it's new to me. And I would like to give it a try. Maybe it's something we can consider offering at the Fell Arboretum plant sale in the future someday.
That's not a bad idea. Are they hard to find?
I do not think so. I found multiple seed suppliers that have it. Seed Savers Exchange had it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mail order seed providers and nursery suppliers have this plant.
So I would really have to start from seed with this. It's not like a tomato where I could go find a half-grown plant and just go right into my garden. I should start from seed.
Yeah, and I don't see the advantage from starting it from a plant, really.
Oh, really?
The seed's
okay.
Probably very inexpensive, and it sounds pretty straightforward, you know. You're not trying to sneak this in early like a carrot or a potato, right? The below-ground vegetables. This one's just keep it away from the frost and keep it watered. You don't have to go crazy spraying it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an attractive plant, actually. So if you had a small space garden where you're mixing your edibles along with your ornamentals, I would say you could absolutely do it.
Really? Like, do the leaves look nice? Or?
They are. Nice little soft spade-shaped leaves that come to a gentle point. And because its habit is mounding, it appears as though it kind of shades itself in the beans that it grows.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And that's a little bit on the common side for a bean, you know, for whether it's a pole bean or a bush bean.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, that's where you might find the beans, a little bit in the shade that the plant provides itself.
And if you're having a dinner party and you want to impress people, this might be the bean to serve because it's not terribly commonplace yet. So it could be a great way to impress your friends.
I think it would be a great table conversation starter.
Okay. Next week, coming up on GLT's Grow, we have a spring to-do list for you for work in the garden. If you've got a gardening question you'd like Murph to take on, go to our website, WGLT.org, fill in the form, and send it along to us. Submit those online again at our website, WGLT.org/grow.